Turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. Matthew 13, verse 23. Our verse for the year, Matthew 6, 33, while you're turning. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the structure. A kingdom is a structure. This is a spiritual domain. The Garden of Eden was a kingdom. We talked about that some last week. And then the kingdoms of the nations of the world and the literal kingdom that's coming one day where Jesus Christ will rule and reign on this earth. But right now, we're here in the spiritual domain of God. Jesus said three different things about the kingdom. He said many things about the kingdom, but three different dimensions, I should say. He said that we are in the kingdom, and the kingdom is in us. In Luke 12, he said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you the kingdom. He told Peter in one place, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom, and you can lock and unlock things. You can loose. You can tie things up. You can loose things. And there are things in our lives that we need to tie down that's devouring us. And there are blessings that we have, like that buried treasure I talked about last week. We may get back to that, that we need to dig up. That we've let get covered. You ever been out on the beach walking and you uncover something, or you've been out in your yard or whatever, and you walk up on something and say, Lord God, I've been here. What in the world is this? You see what I'm saying? And so there are things covered that only God can uncover, and we need Him to do that. Today I want to talk to you a few minutes about winners and losers. Not so much winning and losing, because losers can win sometime but still lose. Let me say that again. Losers can actually win sometime, but still be losers because of who they are and what they are. I'm not so much talking about what we do, but what we are today. And so God made us winners. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You got to do it God's way. Your way won't work. I've already tried that. Didn't work out too good. And all these things shall be added unto you. That's our verse for the year, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 33. Today, winners and losers. But he that received seed into the good ground is he, we're talking in us now, us, is he that heareth the word, and he that understandeth the word, which also will bear fruit and bring forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. All right? So in other words, we have different gifts going to do different things. But the key here is we've got to receive the word. We've got to hear it. We've got to understand it. If you hear, have you ever heard people talk 15 minutes and you walked away and you didn't have any idea what they said? They just like to hear themselves talk. Or they like to impress you with how smart they think they are. Had this fella, I think he's dead and gone now, but every time you walked up to him, he dominated the conversation and told you all these things, facts. And he was a very smart man. And I was talking to another elderly gentleman that was maybe related to him or a friend or whatever, and I got unfortunately engaged in one of their conversations. Well, actually, it's not a dialogue. It's a monologue. This person does all the talking. And so and so he went on, and so I asked the other fella that's a very dear friend of mine. He's probably mid-80s. And I said, man. He talks a lot. And he went, he said this, it was class. This other individual doesn't say, he said, well, he is smart. And he does know a lot. It's just that I don't need to know all of that. Anybody here ever go to high school?
Unfortunately.
Okay. I can't say I went every day. No. Okay. I can't say that, but I did go. What is it where they teach you about Romeo and Juliet? Is that literature?
Okay.
Hey, if you're watching school people, I love you. Teachers, love you.
Love it.
But I have used, Lord forgive me, I have used world literature, Romeo and Juliet, every day since I learned about it.
Not.
You understand what I'm saying? So if we're going to roll in the kingdom, we're going to have to look at things from God's point of view and what matters. I know it mattered to somebody that I learned about Romeo and Juliet. It just wasn't me. You understand what I'm saying? And I know it was part of some kind of something that we had to learn. And I thank God I was an easy, quick study, and I wouldn't have made it because I wouldn't have dedicated that much time to that subject. But anyway. But kids should. Okay? Just got to stay with it. It is. It's also, school is like a discipline too. You understand what I'm saying? You got to go. You got to go. You got to be. You got to do. I'm digging around here to find my vein of gold. You got to, at some point, be made to do something you do not want to do. I did not want to go to school. So, well, I did want to go the first year, but I didn't know they were Jonathan. It was 11 more years. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't tell me that part. All right. So, anyway, because my cousin Bobby Lord got to go to school a year before me, and he's only like 2 months older than me because of the thing, how they cut it off back then. I said, I don't understand why I can't go. Well, hindsight's 20/20, baby. I was glad I waited another year. That being said, you know the difference between winners and losers? Winners are willing to do whatever it takes. Losers are not. Successful people are willing to do whatever it takes to be successful. Complainers are not. They're going to criticize you while you're trying to fulfill your dream. Those same critics, when you fulfill your dream, they're going to tell you you're still not doing it right. Even though you're riding in a Rolls Royce with $1 million in your bank account, and everybody on planet Earth knows you, and they still stuck down to 7-Eleven. You understand what I'm saying on the street corner? I don't mean that ugly. I'm just saying there are two types of people on this planet, winners and losers. Those that go for it and just will not quit, like Winston Churchill said before we got involved in World War II. All his people came in and said, sir, we are surrounded. And it's a famous quote. Well, there's one thing for sure. They won't get away this time. Some of y'all got that, some of y'all didn't, all right? So when you get surrounded by the enemy, you can just shoot any kind of way and hit somebody. You understand what I'm saying? And so winners and losers. Now the key is in this verse here. You're going to have to hear, first of all, you're going to have to get to be good ground, all right? You're going to have a receptive heart. Because if you have a hard heart and a stiff neck, you're going to be destroyed, Proverbs said. So you're going to have to listen because you don't know everything. How many learned something this week? Okay? Good. We need to learn something every week,
every day
if we possibly can, all right? Unless you lock yourself in a room somewhere with no electricity, no phones, nothing, you're going to learn something, whether it be pro or con, but you can also use bad things to teach you what not to do. You understand what I'm saying? And so you need to be good ground. Say this with me, I'm good ground.
I'm good ground.
Because see, God doesn't sow seed, God doesn't do random and stupid, all right? He sows seed where something's going to happen. These people are going to respect it and protect it, and they're going to make something happen with this seed and this investment that I'm putting in them. You know, do you ever feel sometimes you've invested time in people and it was just a waste of time?
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? God doesn't waste his time. He has hope and high purpose for you and I, and intentionally he puts the Word of God in your mind, in your heart, and the Word of God will change you. So you need to be good ground, and you need to hear it, hear the Word, the Bible says, and understand it. A lot of people are good ground. A lot of people hear it, don't fully understand it. Okay? And that's my job, to help you understand it. Now, we are winners and we are losers. We are losers. Now, I want to read that verse that I read last week, verse 44, if you would, Josh, 13:44, same chapter, verse 44. Winners see the value in things. They appreciate things. They don't just have this callous attitude. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in the field. We talked about that last week. Now, this treasure is hid in the field, but it has to stay in that field because the man leaves it in that field. You can't take it out of that field. What does that mean, Brother Scotty? Well, in context, I used marriage last week. Your marriage will be a wonderful treasure as long as you keep it in the context of that marriage. A third person gets involved inside that field, then your marriage is going to go south. All right? You understand what I'm saying? If you can be the best concrete person in the world. I'm talking about you, the greatest concrete pouring person in the world. And we're having church, and it is, what time is it? 11:46 Central Standard Time. All right, we're having church. Those doors are not locked. What if somebody just came walking in that door back there and had a concrete truck backing its tube in right here, just come walking in and said, we're going to start pouring us some concrete just because we know how? That'd be out of context. I'd say, well, you're going to have to pour your concrete somewhere else because we're having church here. You see what I'm talking about, context? And some people need to look in the mirror. When you go to the beach, some people need to put on a few more clothes. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, keep things in context because some of that stuff needs to be covered up, baby. It don't need to be out here where you understand. Keep things in context. And you come to church fully dressed. You don't come to church with your swim clothes on. Okay, you understand context now? You got me? All right. Well, I have seen people come to church with their swim clothes on, but Lord help me, Jesus. Kingdom of heaven, it's like a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof he goeth, he selleth all that he hath, and he buyeth that field. This guy's a winner because he sees the value in something, and he's going to put everything he's got into it. He's going to respect it, he's going to protect it, and he's going to go for it. The person on that field did not see the value of it. And so he let it go. When God puts stuff in your face, you can't let it go. You got to go with it because God will bless you with it. But God gave us this book here so we could participate in what he wants us to do. Now, how is it we make bad decisions? Sometimes, now I teach you to go forward and don't walk backwards. The Bible teaches you that. But in these parables, you'll find, and Peter also had put in remembrance, Jesus had put in remembrance, and so sometimes you have to look back, Matthew, to go forward. Now, the reason you got to do that is the last 10 times I did this, it didn't work. So it's a really good chance it's not going to work this time if I do it the same way. And plus, things change. If you travel a lot, you'll go over a hill and a road will be gone because they done moved it somewhere else. You understand what I'm saying? Yesterday we went boat riding on the Pearl River. I've spent a lot of time on the Pearl River. But all this rain we've had, it's changed it. Ronnie would know a lot about that on the Mississippi River. It's changed it. I bumped sand a couple times. Just some sand got in 2 foot of deep water where it used to be 12 foot deep. Carrie said, what's wrong? I said, we're on the bottom. So, well, my God, what happened? Water happened. Life happened. The currents of life are constantly flowing. That's not why you have to flow in the Spirit of God, and you have to be able to see things of value that other people don't see. You have to see opportunities, and that's what God blesses you to see, your opportunity, your skill set, and you can't beat a man in his own game. And that's why people hire you to do something, because they got a problem they can't fix, and if you can fix their problem, they will pay you to fix their problem, and you'll have some money in your pocket. Did y'all get that? Find what you do. Don't try to do what somebody else is doing because it looks cool. I know a guy that loves to do mechanic work. He just ain't no good at it. Trust me. I financially know this. Because it cost me more to hire a real mechanic to fix all the stuff he tore up before we got back, Bradley, to the real problem. You feel me? But he loves mechanic work. I don't love mechanic work. I hate it, actually, to be quite honest with you. All right? But God made us to be winners. God wants us to win. He wants us to take charge. Now listen. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. We're created in his image. So therefore, you've heard me say this 1,000 times, Price, I am a spirit. I live in a body. And Matthew, I have a soul. My soul is my mind, my emotional man, my personality. My soul is what you see. My soul is what you talk to. My personality, where I think, where I process, where I love, where I hate. So I am a spirit, and I live in a body, and I have a soul. The key to success is we have to let our spirit dominate our soul, because if we don't, we'll make a lot of emotional decisions. How many knows that emotional decisions will get you in trouble? How many's went and bought a car because you just loved it so much that salesman, he told you could pay for it, even though you've never seen him for in your life, won't never see him again, and he won't make one payment on it. And then all of a sudden, 30 days later, the car payment comes and says, my God, what did I do? I can't pay this. That's an emotional decision. Jesus said, count the cost before you build the tower, all right? And so we've all done that. Everybody say amen. And so we need to allow our spirit to communicate with God and let it dominate our soul man, our emotional man, so we make good, wise decisions. And we're probably not going to get it 100%, but I promise you the closer we get to it, the better off we'll be. Because if you aim that away and your trajectory's off just a little bit, the further it goes, the worse it will get. And if that's the case in your life right now, you need to stop, turn around and look back and say, now, I missed something somewhere. I've missed a turnoff. Me and Carrie here a couple weeks ago, I may have told you this. I was talking to her. And it was cloudy. We come to an intersection. I turned and went the exact opposite direction. I should have went left, which is north, but I went right and went south. Why? Because I wasn't paying attention. But God put a compass in here. Just a few minutes, Austin, I said, we're going the wrong way. She said, well, how do you know? It's cloudy. There's trees everywhere. I mean, we're on the highway. How do you know? I said, I don't know. I just know I'm going the wrong way. That's a gift from God. You should ask Him for that. Not only to know north and south. That doesn't make me special, because if you don't know from north and south, all you got to do is put a compass on your phone. So that's not really a hard problem to solve. You understand what I'm saying? But you do need to know when you hear the voice of God and say, the further I go, the worse it gets. So apparently this was not a good situation. And I need to back up. Because see, sometimes we have to look back. Paul said in Acts chapter 26, he said, I think myself happy. Now, how does he do that? If you're going to think about something that makes you happy, most of the time you're going to look back for some good memories. Yesterday we went riding on the river and the boys went camping and stuff. And me and Miss Carrie went down yesterday and rode on the river and came in last night. And while we were riding, I was thinking of the 90s boys, of all that whole 8 or 10 years we had a permanent pad at Goshen Springs, and we went camping and fishing and whatever we did. You know what I'm saying? We just had a wonderful, happy time of our life while the boys were teenagers. And I mean, we were the youngest couple with the kids in the park, and everybody else in there was like a older generation of people, and they watched after us and took care of us and this and that. And I remember this having the Canton Flea Market. And one of the guys, people from the Canton Flea Market, they come stay. And this one guy, let's see, let me get this straight now. The boys come running to the camper, just excited, Brooks. I'm talking about, I thought they'd found a gold alligator. You understand what I'm saying? Caught a few of them, but anyway, won't go down no alligator stories today. They said, Daddy, where is the ice box? I said, what? He said, the one with all the brim in it. I said, why? He said, we have made a deal. Matthew and Mike said, Daddy, you just don't know the trade. We've made a trade like you would not believe. I said, since there's plenty more brim to catch, I couldn't. I said, okay. Well, what's? They said, we got to have all these fish. I said, well, just, they took off with the ice cooler. I said, I'm waiting to see. They come back. Angela. Well, the little old bush, some fella found on the side of the road, I guess.
No,
I don't know. What you call them trees?
A bonsai tree. They're valuable.
This one was 2,000 years old. Am I right, Matthew? Wasn't that what he said? Y'all don't act like y'all don't remember this. I said, y'all traded all of my brim for this. And I said, Daddy, it's 2,000 years old, Daddy. I said, how do you know? That man ain't 2,000 years old. I promise you that tree or whatever that is. It wasn't a tree. It was more like a little bush thing. I don't know. You have to try to trim it just right and all that. But
the
moral of the story is he won because he got all my fish.
You can't. I got the tree.
I know, but you can't eat that tree, baby.
Plenty more brim.
You see, winning is a psychological thing. But they were so proud of that tree. I mean, bless God, they was happy. They had them a 2,000-year-old tree. I thought, help me, Jesus. They had this houseboat. So houseboat sat there at the dock for 2 or 3 years. We'd been out fishing that morning. This is 15, 20 years ago, I guess, in the 90s, late 90s, probably 98. And we hadn't caught nothing. Well, we actually had caught some, but not enough. So we come back in. We took all our boats and put them out of the water and parked them over here. And so then Micah, the fisherman in the family, he goes over there. They moved this houseboat, and Scotty the brim had bedded under this houseboat. I'm talking about them dark blue brim, them flat nose stump bumping. I'm talking about show enough blue brim, Mark. And so Micah comes running back with a whole pile of them. I said, where did you catch them? He said, Daddy, they moved that houseboat, and there's millions of brim under it. I'm trying to catch all of them. And so anyway, here we go, the Beverly Hillbillies. Me and my daddy, my brother, we all the whole family's down there, which is can be a good thing and maybe not so good. But anyway, so we all go set. And so here we are, set at the boat dock. And you know what? Lysandra, them slips that's made out of wood where they've got these boats parked up in there. But they'd moved a houseboat. Well, here we are sitting around it in a U shape, all us with our poles, like, you know, like crazy people fishing in like a swimming pool type situation. You know what I'm saying? It was just too good to pass up. And then people would come pull these crappie fishermen and these bass fishermen who are smarter than us, and they know how to catch more fish than we do, and they got way better boats and faster. They didn't know we had so many boats and had nowhere to park them all, but we didn't tell them. They didn't ask. Okay? So they'd pull up, we'd hear them talking, whispering, bless their hearts, they ain't got no boat. Say, Brother Scott, you didn't tell them? They didn't ask. And I'd hear one of them say, you want to give them these fish because they ain't going to catch nothing but look at poor thing. I'd be praying, Lord, don't let one bite right now. Don't let one bite. Am I telling the truth, boys? Here, you was there?
Yeah.
Every few minutes, we had to go empty our ice chest. So you see what I'm saying? Because when we open it, you can't have a full ice chest of blue brim. They ain't going to really pour no white perch in there on top of that. You understand what I'm saying? So you got to take them. And I can still hear them. Bless their poor hearts. They're having the fish here at the boat dock. They don't know no better. They ain't got no boat. We had so many boats, we didn't have a place to park them all. We also had more fish than they did. Because we went fishing. There's a difference in going to catch fish and going to show folks your new boat and your new fishing pole. Because, see, the fish, he don't care how much your boat costs. He don't care if you ain't got a boat. He don't care if you made your pole out of a willow limb. He don't know. He don't care. If you got something on it, he wants to buy it, he will take it. If you are gifted, God will call your name. Joseph was in a prison in Egypt, and Pharaoh had a dream. Could nobody else help him but Joseph, and they sent for him. Yeah. David was at the sheep pasture. Samuel come to anoint him king, and he said, you got another son somewhere, Jesse. Jesse said, well, I just got little old David. He said, go get him. If you hear the word of God and become good soil, and that understand the word of God and the principles of what I'm trying my best to teach you, I promise you God will send for you. He has something for you to do on this planet, because inside of you is a gift that will solve somebody else's problem, and they need you.
Amen.
You hear me? They need that gift you have to come out and to pick them up. It's because we are one in the spirit and the body of Christ. Instead of arguing with one another and comparing our churches and our counting and this and God, all this stuff we do religiously speaking, we are one in Christ, and we should help one another out instead of compete with one another. Because we need one another. We're not one. We are many. We're the body of Christ. So don't be a loser. Be a winner in Jesus. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who's got a challenging week ahead of them? Anybody? I'm going to have to raise both of my hands. Say this after me. I can do all things. Even the stuff I got to deal with this week. Through Christ, because He's my God, and He's going to help me, and I'm going to be greater than I even thought possible, because He's greater, and He's in me. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said,
Amen.